Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
The physical evidence at Nancy Guthrie's home has been the subject of intense scrutiny, not just for what investigators have found, but for what they've missed and how the scene was handled initially. The crime scene was released back to the family just one day after Nancy was reported missing, then re-entered four separate times over the following week. A rooftop camera overlooked for 5 days. Chain of custody questions are already being raised by legal analysts. Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us to help us break down our conversation about the crime scene that we've been looking at. On a Sunday afternoon, they got into what appears to be a septic system. At least that's what the conjecture has been from everybody that's seen the video of them opening a hole in the ground. This is an area that we do know does not have like a public sewer system. Every home and neighbors have said, yes, we all have our own septic tanks. So that's likely what the hole in the ground and the pit that they were, you know, scraping around in is. Let's just start there. Supposedly, you know, we have no suspects. We don't have any vehicles of interest. These are the things that are being publicly said. And there's supposedly these ramps and notes, and they're willing to pay, yet they're digging into the septic tank. What's going on?
As they're getting more data and they're getting more likely, they're getting more people in with the experience of doing these sorts of things. They're having to go back in and do things that weren't done before or redo things that weren't done at the level they wanted them done. Septic system, fantastic. I'm glad they're not on the city sewer, because if there was something that was disposed of through a bathroom in some way, secreted down a drain, they're going to take all the drain stops out, as well as the septic. They can examine that as well for whoever was inside the house using those things. And if it was an inside type of job of a worker or something, stuff might have been there, you know, for last week too. So, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. So I'm glad that we're seeing them do those sorts of things, grabbing things off of roofs. Now, the sequence of it, giving things back, there's some chaos, I think, at the leadership level of this, as we're seeing. But the fact that they're still doing a lot says a lot of good things to me. I'm glad they are. And I don't think that the main scene is really at Nancy's house. I think Annie's house is going to have a lot more at it, just because, again, it really depends on the caretaker side of an aspect of this.
And I want to talk about that because there's been some reporting on this from reporters that I know and that I trust and that we know and that are good, that are not just going to throw random things out there. Ashley Banfield's not going to Reddit and running with just random shit that she finds. And some of the early reporting that was done on this that she's gotten a lot of flack for talks about possibly the son-in-law being looked at as a prime suspect. Now, there's been no official word of that whatsoever. That was from her reporting, from a trusted source, according to her, somewhere within the ether of this ecosystem. I want to talk about that, not from an angle of is this the guy or anything like that, but how that reporting can be accurate and he may not be our person by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. Whereas at that moment in time, early in the investigation, whatever day that was, like day two or three or something, that reporting came out, the investigation may have been looking at him as a prime suspect. They're going to look at family first. They're going to look at the people closest to her first. So at that moment in time, that sentence, that headline may be accurate. As investigations continue to progress, you rule people out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. We don't. Nobody knows at this time if he's ever even been a suspect whatsoever, or if he's been ruled out, or if he's even part of the conversation of such things. But both can parallelly be true, where at a moment it is true, but it's not the person at the end of the day. That's why it's not always the best idea to run and publish that information until you actually know who truly is a long-term suspect, not just who's the flavor of the day at that moment in time. Let's talk about the optics here, because a lot of people are still looking at this going, oh my gosh, but look at all the activity at Annie's house and her husband's house. Look at, they were in there, they were taking pictures over the weekend, they were going in and out. There was, from people are speculating that there was a Cellbrite computer that went in to scan the information off the cell phones and all that. And okay, that can be true. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they had anything to do with the disappearance. You have some interesting thoughts on that as an investigator. Give me your take on that.
Yeah, I thought long and hard about this, Tony, and I like that they're at Nancy's house doing a lot, because as I took a step back and said, all right, what would cause someone to do that? What would make investigators do that? And so let's look at this. So here's Nancy, elderly woman, and Annie's been her caretaker as reported and seen for quite a while now.
Yeah.
As caretaker, they would be the ones that were most likely setting up maintenance on the house, medical appointments, you know, lawn mowing, plumbing work, roof work, you name it, it was going through Annie. And so when she's setting things up, whose records is it going to be in? Is it going to be in Nancy's or in Annie's? Mm-hmm. It's going to be in Annie's. And so if I was going to do a digital deep dive, am I going to do it on the elderly lady who is just being told by her daughter what's coming and when is it going to happen? Or am I going to do it on the daughter's house and all the electronics inside that house? Mm-hmm. And so the fact that they're doing a deep electronic dive inside of Annie's house with all electronics and bringing in equipment and everything, good. That means the fact that they're still there means they're getting a lot. They're getting, because there's years and years and years of data. And so what they're doing is they're collecting all this data, all the contacts, all the contractors, absolutely everything. And now they got to follow those leads on all those people, all those timelines, everything, right? And here's the other thing. Every single case that I've ever covered where someone inside a tight circle might be a suspect for a period of time that might have something to hide, you know what they do? They lawyer up and say, no more access. Not the case here. And then you go even a deeper level on this. Yes, the family is always the first. Elizabeth Smart's father said this on Fox the other day and other channels that, you know, they have to rule out the family first because the law of averages say that's most likely who it's going to be involved in, because these things are so rarely random. It's, and you start in these concentric circles, family, associates, and out and out and out and out. And so you start at the family first to rule them out. And so you are going to look at everyone first, you know, so Ashley Bansfield's sources were most likely accurate that they was a suspect, like everyone was a suspect in that first degree of separation, then you rule them out. Mm-hmm. But if it was more than that, again, they would have lawyered up. They would not have given continued access. But then you do a deeper dive on Tommaso. Tommaso is a sixth grade charter school teacher in biology and science. Mm-hmm. He has got no criminal record, no background. There is zero arc of this type of unhealthy behavior. And if they're so hard up for money, there's a lot of easier ways like robbing a bank than there is of doing this. So it just does not. He and the family, the immediate family, Nancy's family, does not fit. Again, I am always open to outliers.
Yeah.
And this could be an outlier because we don't have all the data. We don't have everything. I'm just telling you from what we're observing from the outside, this is what explains behavior law enforcement, focusing in on that household as the primary caregivers, as the ones that set up contracts and people have access to Nancy, that I would be treasure troving, get all those data points in there. And if someone inside that house was fearful of them being discovered as the real perpetrator of this, they wouldn't have given access anymore, at least without search warrants or anything else. But there's been the appearance of, could be different behind the scenes, but appearance of complete cooperation. And it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, you got to kind of view Annie's house and her husband's as almost an extension of Nancy's.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to do that is anybody out there who has elderly parents or anybody that cares, that's the caregiver for somebody that doesn't live in your home. Your records, all of that, just think about it for a second. How much of that is, you know, literally their information that had they been a little bit younger in life, that would have all been in their house. They would have been taking care of it, but they don't anymore. And they have a caregiver that's doing it. So that's pretty freaking normal. That's nothing odd. I think everybody is very quick to go, police are at X location. They must be getting bad guy. That's not how this works.
Nancy's house is ground zero for information.
Yes.
And to the quote that just came across from our listener, it's fantastic. If you are trying to get money from your 84-year-old mom, just wait a couple years. I mean, it just makes no sense whatsoever.
None of it makes a lot of sense. This doesn't, I mean, and look, I don't know the finances of the family. Obviously, Savannah makes money, but that doesn't mean Savannah's just passing out checks, you know, to people either. But again, like you said, if someone is in some sort of a financial strait, and we've seen that in other cases, this would be the path of most resistance to get that money. This is not exactly like the quickest way or the most efficient way of obtaining money for whatever you needed. Abducting your mother-in-law this doesn't make sense. It's not a logical path. And yes, could there be outliers? Of course there could be. But if we're looking at the laws of averages here, what makes sense? Let's just follow the path of least resistance in Arkham's razor. And look, none of that seems to add up. It makes for like the horrible, this, if you're going to put this into a movie script, sure. But is it that? No, like you said, the family is not lawyered up. They've been cooperating extensively in every possible way they can. Yep. You know, could someone have been looked at as a suspect for a moment in time? Of course. Sure. Does it mean it went anywhere? No. But that could be just how that's how you flush out an investigation. Yep. There's so many questions.
I'm sorry. So think about this. So you're the investigator, you're the interviewers, and you're going to the mom's house first, and you're getting some data points in, and you're investigating there, and there's not a lot there because it's she's an elderly woman, it's an empty house, probably got some photos, got some nice things. But then as time's progressing a little bit, and you find out Annie's the main person, and the shock of what's going on wore off a little bit, and Annie's and her husband are thinking to themselves, well, we did this, and the investigators, you did what? You set up what?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, we handled everything in her life. Oh, we got to refocus over here now.
Yeah.
It's always about what makes sense. It's always the path of least. It's generally what makes sense is what is going to really what happens in the end. When you try to make things too complicated by these big nefarious things, I've never seen it work out that way. It just doesn't because. Yeah. If it's an outlier. What happens in outliers, there's more people involved, more leakage. And the messaging they're using was really good, you know, in the messages, the family messages they put out. You would have flushed out at this point if there's a probability of someone else involved with some sort of empathy that could give information. I mean, because you knew if there was a cabal of two or three people that had had Nancy abducted, there'd be infighting like this. Well, you'd have one person, give me the money, or give me communicate. We need to make sure. I mean, you'd be having infighting and then someone would break and leak or do something and we're not seeing any of it.
Let me
and
ask
that's how you, that works, right? I mean, yes. This is, yeah, okay.
Let me ask you this, because this is another interesting thing that's been taking place over the last several days. The helicopter that's been, several have seen it circling over the area, and I saw the flight path of it the other day. You're an aviation guy. Did you see the flight path of this helicopter, the circling, the gazillion circling over, I don't know how many times, but it was a lot, kind of over the property. Over and over and over and over. I don't know how many times it was, but it was a lot of circling. I'm, as you being an aviator, you know a hell of a lot more about that world than I do. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not even going to give you my conjecture. What's your conjecture? Why? Why were they doing that? What do you think they were possibly trying to glean by circling the helicopter over the property for the crazy amount of times that they were?
You know, I'm a little befuddled, not super befuddled by it. So the aviation assets have a lot of interesting equipment on board that they can do a lot of things with. And obviously they're using that interesting equipment in doing this. I think they're really trying to identify surveillance locations that were used outside the house. They're looking for disturbed ground. They're looking for tips and leads around that property, as well as maybe terrain mapping it, I really think they're looking for disturbed soil kinds of stuff.
Yeah. My other thought, and I'm going to give you this conjecture on it, because we've already talked in this case about Bluetooth connections here, one being Nancy's heart.
I looked at
pacemaker. And her pacemaker and her phone or her watch, her Apple Watch. I am wondering, are they getting a signal from somewhere near that property that somehow points back to Nancy?
I looked at this.
Yeah. Okay. Give me your thoughts.
So when you're dealing with new situations, it forces you to innovate in ways that you couldn't, that you never thought of before. And so, and I'm sure a lot of people have looked at this too. So pacemakers cannot be used as GPS devices, but they do give off signals and do automatically connect to a device if they're within 100 feet. I think it's around the max range of that. And so it's going to really depend. So, because I was really looking at, is there a way that they could actually roam that property and use something to actually trigger a download if that pacemaker, well, it won't get gruesome, but if that pacemaker is anywhere around on that property in any way. The jury's out on it. It would do a download to like her watch or her synced device, because so here's the bottom line. The pacemaker does not stop working if the patient stops working.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And so there is a possibility of being able to, I think, with a lot of good science at it, might be able to do something with that, maybe. But it'd have to be really, really close proximity. I don't think a helicopter overhead would be able to do anything with that.
It makes me, I mean, it's not like it's not like Nancy is a cell tower, you know?
No, like, she's not going to ping.
Like you're kind of landing and you're like, it's supposed to be in airplane mode, but I got a signal, you know?
Right. Very, very low energy ping, not even a ping. It's a low energy download that happens when you're in a close proximity, because remember, they don't open up the heart every couple months to replace the batteries.
It's a Bluetooth connection. I mean, it's like, it's you walk across your house and your music stops playing. Oh, I'm too far away from the Bluetooth.
Right.
It's the same principle.
Yep.
Your thoughts, everybody, thus far on the conversation, give it to us on our Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com. You can join us there. It's free to join right now. There's no fee. Everything is accessible, and you get all of our reporting a day in advance. I'd love to get your thoughts there. Also on YouTube, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Find us there and weigh in.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. the unintended consequences of these programs. They had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.